All right, I guess we'll start. Today will be our last day. We study Ezekiel. Next week, I'm going to speak on, I don't want to say, I guess even how to address it is kind of hard because in my mind I think, oh, it's evolution. No, it's not evolution because there's, it's really the naturalist view. I guess I would say the naturalist view versus the Bible versus God. I guess sometimes you call it evolution, but it's not really, that's really just a part of it. So next week we'll address the naturalist view versus the Bible, and then 2 weeks later we're going to study the book of John, the first chapter, first few verses, and that should be, hopefully that'll be exciting also. Because, you know, trying to figure out what the naturalist view is, it's very frustrating because they keep changing their minds. They keep changing their minds.
You don't have to, brother.
Pardon?
I think you don't have to. Teach on God's word.
Okay, I know. But trying to combat something that keeps changing their minds really is frustrating. I've been, you know, studied all day yesterday, and you're like, what do they believe? Yeah, that's a good way to put it. All right, top 10 list. Okay, today will be our finale for Ezekiel. And we have the top 10 lists of, I'll go through, I think, maybe three top 10 lists from the book of Ezekiel. Maybe it's four. But anyway, here we go. Rogers, top 10 verses in Ezekiel. And so this is not something I pulled out of a book. This is just my opinion. Top 10 verses. And it's not like they're the most dramatic or anything. They're just ones I like. Ezekiel 1:28. Like the appearance of the rainbow in the clouds on a sunny day, so was the appearance of the surrounding radiance. Such was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. And when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice speaking. So this is the last verse of chapter 1 where Ezekiel sees a vision with the four angelic creatures and the wheels within wheels. Very cool, but that represents the glory of God. But I think that's a really cool verse. Ezekiel 2:1. And this is the calling. This is the calling of Ezekiel. And then he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you, and I will speak with you. You know, it's like very direct, right? Stand on your feet. Let's get going. It's time for you to start preaching. Ezekiel 3:2. So I opened my mouth and he fed me this scroll. And so it's symbolic of, you know, how we should view the word of God. Not literally eating it, but I mean treating it as an essential part of living. Just eat it up. Ezekiel 4:1. Now, you son of man, get yourself a brick and place it before you, inscribe a city on it, Jerusalem. I like this because it's kind of like it's kind of like, you know, Ezekiel got to play with army men or maybe G.I. Joes. I remember, you know, we played with little green army men, and some kids, they played with G.I. Joes, but it's kind of like Ezekiel got to play. And I guess my son, he used to play, like, we lived in New Orleans, so he used to play with levees. He used to build levees and, you know, and then put water behind it. And he learned a lot from that. He learned a lot about levees. He learned that you can't fix them once they break. he's right. Ezekiel 10:18. When the glory of the Lord departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the... then the glory of God, Lord, departed from the threshold of the temple and stood over the cherubim. Very key verse, because if you just read chapter 10, it just sounds kind of like chapter 1 over again. Unless you pick up on this verse. And it's the glory of God again, but it's departing. It's not just very sad verse. Maybe the saddest verse in all of Ezekiel. Perhaps it is.
You know what Brother Rogers was talking and saying is that it comes to mind that there's a doctrine out there that says that you can never fall from grace. I think I'm gonna start using that next time I meet somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean that doctrine's hard because it's just. I mean, because it's so hard because it's like, for some people. I mean, it's part of their core belief. It's like the Trinity or something. And so it's like if you're, for them. For us, that's just the way it is. You know, of course you can fall from grace, but for them, it's like a core belief that you can't. And you're just like, even though there's multiple verses that contradict it, it's such a core belief they hang on to it. Yeah. 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 Okay, so we had to. That's all right. Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins will die. So here we learn personal responsibility. You know, forget about inherited sin. The soul who sins will die. You know, you're not born condemned. Quite the opposite. And it's the whole chapter of Ezekiel speaks of this. Whole chapter 18. And this one I dislike. Ruins. I will make it. This also will be no longer until he comes who is right, and I will give it to him. So you have this triplet here. Ruins. I just like that. Ezekiel 24:16. Son of man, behold, I'm about to take from you what is precious to your eyes with a fatal blow. But you shall not mourn, and you shall not weep, and your tears shall not come. So this is when Ezekiel's wife died, or was about to die. But Ezekiel was not allowed to mourn like he wanted to mourn, like he would naturally mourn. And it was very rough.
So, Brother White, that's your favorite one. That could be.
Okay. Okay. I guess when I say favorite, I don't mean like, I just love that verse, right? I mean, it's like, I mean, it's, I guess it's like my key verses.
Something you remember.
Yeah, yeah, something that stands out, something that, yeah. I guess I shouldn't say favorite, as in like, you know, praise the Lord, right? I mean, or rejoice always, right? I mean, no, it's not that kind of favorite. This is... Yeah, oh yeah. Ezekiel 26:14, I will turn you into a bare rock and you will become a dry place for spreading nets. You will not be rebuilt, for the Lord has spoken, declares the Lord God. So this is spoken of Tyre. And I guess I like it for a couple of reasons. First, you know, it shows God's predictions of what was going to happen, that Tyre was going to fall, this little island city just north of Israel was going to fall. And and it was going to be just nothing, you know. The only thing you could see, you know, was fishing nets on some rocks. And that was about it, all you're going to see of this, you know, once great city. And yes, another reason I like it is because when I went to Israel, we parked our ship, pulled in just south of there, so in Haifa, which I guess probably 30 miles south of Tyre or so, and you could see this ridge of mountains, and it's called the Ladder of Tyre. So I got I don't know. Didn't get to see the Tyre, the city, you know, where the fishing nets were, but got to at least see the Ladder of Tyre, the ridge named after Tyre. I thought that was pretty cool. Or maybe it was vice versa. Maybe the city was named after the ridge. I don't know. Ezekiel 37:27. My dwelling place will be among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. This is like, okay, this is a favorite verse, right? This is like, this is a verse I really like. you know, not just a key verse, but, you know, truly a favorite verse. I really like that verse. Okay, now we're going to switch to top 10 pivotal verses in Ezekiel. And these are verses that if you miss, you might totally misunderstand the meaning of the chapter. So these are top 10 pivotal verses in Ezekiel. And there's a lot of overlap here. Ezekiel 28, this is the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God, and when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard speaking. And it sets the tone for the authority of the prophecies to follow. Because if you read that first, if you don't understand why, you know, there is, you know, there's these four creatures and these wheels within wheels, and, you know, the reason is to set the tone, you know, for you know, God's glory and his authority that's going to follow. And then Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I have appointed you a watchman, defines Ezekiel's divine commission. The moral responsibility of warning others begins here. So that's kind of the I guess you could say the heart of his commission was to be the watchman. Ezekiel 8:6. Do you see what great abominations the house of Israel is committing, so I would be far from my sanctuary? And that introduces the reason for God's imminent departure from the temple. In Ezekiel 10:18, then the glory of, you know, we just went over this, so it's kind of a repeat. And the glory of God departed from the temple. And so that's kind of the sad thing, where the glory of God departs. Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. It's a turning point in the book of Ezekiel that introduces hope and future. So after just chapter after chapter after chapter of judgment, well, actually, this is kind of the middle of it all, but after chapter, you finally get some hope here in chapter 11. After about six chapters of judgment. So this is kind of the middle of them all. Then Ezekiel 18:4, all souls are mine, again, that verse. And chapter 7, but I acted for the sake of my name so that it would not be profane. So God acted because of his name. So God still wanted Israel to come back when he could have just be gone, you know, at any moment. You know, you think about all those chapters about judgments. They're not just, the intent is to get Israel back, not to just be gone, right? He could say that in one word. Ezekiel 24:16, son of man, behold, I am about to take the desire from your eyes. So this is when Ezekiel's wife dies, a very, very pivotal verse. Ezekiel 36, moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And that kind of reflects, you know, New Testament themes. I'll put a new spirit within you. Ezekiel 37:5, behold, I'm going to make breath enter you so that you may come to life. And so that's the idea of the resurrection. It's kind of a precursor to the resurrection in the New Testament. I guess we're ahead of schedule. the vision of the wheels and living creatures. Ezekiel sees four living beings and wheels within wheels, full of eyes, symbolizing God omnipresence, power, and mobility. So in that chapter you see these four creatures that have four sides to their heads, and they just kind of float up and down and all around, and there's some wheels involved. If you look at pictures people draw of this, every one of them is totally different, right? But then you have the wheels that shows, you know, I guess complexity. And power, but and mobility, but anyway, very cool.
Did you get a study why there are these four different faces? The human, the lion, and I thought that was kind of interesting, and the ox and the eagle. Why did you get the study why the four faces?
I guess if you just think about it, the eagle is, you know, can fly, right? And he's powerful, and then with the ox, you know, is strong, powerful. What's the other?
Lion.
The lion, of course, the king of the jungle,
the
lion, but you know, the lion's, you know, top of the food chain. And what's the other?
The human,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you don't see anything like a rat or a skunk or, I mean, these are all creatures in their own right or, you know, premier, right? I mean, it's... Eating the scroll, yeah, so we went over this before, but when really cool image, so symbolizes internaling God's message before delivering it. Then you have the brick. In Ezekiel 4 that we mentioned before.
Uh-huh.
That's all right, because we're ahead of schedule, so we can fall back.
Going back to eating, the thought came to my mind as you was talking, but you suddenly hear what I this is Ezekiel 2:8. But you son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. And when you were reading, well, when I was reading it, you were reading it. But anyway, eat what I give you. What have God given for his people to eat today under the new covenant? And if we don't eat, we will be just like the old covenant, I mean the Israelite under the old covenant. We have got to eat so we don't be rebellious. As I am out talking and engaging people, I hear so many false teachings coming out of their mouth. I say, don't people read their Bible? And I'm going to go ahead and say it. Wherever every day is the Lord's day. I heard that twice yesterday. And these are my relatives who say, I know God. Well, if you know God, there is only two times that the word Kyrios Kos is in the Bible, and it pertains to the Lord. The Lord's day, it pertains to the Lord, which is today. That's why I tell everybody, y'all gonna get to know me. I will not say Happy Mother's Day on the Lord's Day, because that's the day that belongs to the Lord. Okay, I'm a fanatic, and I am really out there. For an example, the word saints. Who are we? We are saints. No, you're not a saint. Wait a minute, don't you read your Bible? So I say all of that to say this. We got to start reading God's word so we can know who we are in Christ. Do we be just as rebellious as the old covenant? I can remember the first year that I read through the book of Jeremiah. And I can just picture God weeping because his people don't know him. Now, yet they did not have the Bible that we have it. But are we doing the same thing as those old covenant saints did? I can, from what I'm hearing, I think we are. Because we are not feasting and opening our mouths to read God's word. If we don't read God's word, we will not know God. And if we don't know God, we can't love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the only way you get to really love someone and to spend time with them. So we have got to pay more attention to opening our mouth and letting God feed us from his word. And I'm going to hush.
Absolutely. Thank you. Ezekiel, okay. Oh, the brick. Okay, so we have the brick again. Represents the siege that's going to occur to Ezekiel. And then Ezekiel lying on his side. So he's going to lie on his side 390 days, left side 390, right side 40 days, symbolizing years of their iniquity of Israel and Judah. Eating defiled bread. And so Ezekiel eats bread cooked over dung, portraying famine, ritual uncleanness during the siege. You can't even imagine, right? I mean, you know, we just take it so granted, walking into a beautiful grocery store, right? I mean, even the best of times, you know, there was nothing like, I guess I've heard of, you know, poor people, you know, coming from, you know, third world countries, and I guess the biggest thing that blows their mind is walking into a grocery store. You know, and we just take that for granted. Okay, shaving his head and dividing the hair. Okay, so Ezekiel, so he takes his hair and burns part of it, strikes part of it, and scatters it, you know, symbolizing all the different fates that the inhabitants of Jerusalem are going to happen to them. The vision of the abominations in the temple. In a vision, Ezekiel is shown idolatry in the temple leading to God's departure from it. Then again, we have the departure of God's glory in chapter 10. God's glory departs the temple, symbolizing divine judgment and abandonment. Very sad. And then this is up again, the death of Ezekiel's wife, where he wasn't allowed to mourn like he wanted to. Then we have the Valley of Dry Bones, again, a vision of dry bones, symbolizing the restoration of Israel from exile. Okay, so we have another 10. That's like, okay, good. I've been working on my other lesson lately for next week. Top 10 Ezekiel connections to the New Testament, foreshadowing Jesus and the gospel. Number one. Ezekiel, the Good Shepherd, Ezekiel 34, for this is what the Lord of God says, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. And then in the New Testament we have John 10:11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so we have that parallel between Ezekiel and then Ezekiel 11:19, and I will give them one heart and a new spirit within them, and remove the heart of stone and flesh, and give them a heart of flesh. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, this person is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Ezekiel 37. Behold, I am, behold, in Ezekiel 37, behold, I am going to make breath enter you so that you may come to life. In Acts 2, 4, a noise like a violent rushing wind, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then John 22, when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. So we have the parallels between the Spirit's arrival at Pentecost. Cleansing and spirit renewal. In Ezekiel we have, then I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. And then Titus, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. In John 3:5, unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we need the spiritual cleansing and the rebirth. So we have baptism. It's kind of a symbol of baptism. Okay, then we have eating the scroll again. Ezekiel 10:9. Ezekiel 3:3. Son of man, feed your stomach and fill your stomach with the scroll. And then Revelation 10:9. God says to John, take and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, but in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. Ezekiel 18:4. Behold, all souls are mine. The person who sins will die. Then in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gracious gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ezekiel 47, the river of life from the temple. The one who believes in me from the innermost being Ezekiel 47:9 first. Everything will live where the river goes. And then in John 7:38, the one who believes in me from the innermost being, there flows rivers of living water. Then Revelation 22:1. And he showed me a river of the water of life coming from the throne of God into the Lamb. So we have the river vision coming into the New Testament. Then the watchman's responsibility. The Son of Man, I appointed you as a watchman. Acts 20:26, I am innocent of the blood of all people, for I did not shrink from declaring you the whole purpose of God. Hebrews 13:17, and they keep watch over your souls as those who give an account. So Ezekiel as a sign. So Ezekiel will be assigned to you according to all that he has done, you will do. And Luke 11:30, for just as John became a sign to the Ninevites, so the Son of Man be to this generation. Ezekiel's life, like Jonah, prefigures how God uses people as signs to point judgment and redemption. And then Ezekiel 44, behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and I fell on my face. So that's the glory returning to the temple. And then in John 1, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory full of grace and truth. And so Jesus embodies the glory of God in human form, fulfilling the return of God's presence, not to a building, but to his people. That's the end. I guess it's kind of early. Anybody have any comments? Go ahead, Joni.
Ezekiel 24, when he talks about the fact that he was not to cry, several times in Scripture, God has told man not to weep when judgment is brought against somebody who's wicked. An example of that, of course, is Nadab and Abihu, when Aaron and sons were killed by God because of their disobedience. They were not allowed to mourn or weep because the judgment of God is just. Men who do wickedness deserve to die. They don't deserve pity. They need to do what God wants them to do. But Ezekiel also says God has no pleasure in those who die. And so God's desire is that all should turn and live. But when you don't turn and God's judgment is brought, it's not a cause for weeping and crying. It's a just punishment for evildoers.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, I guess when I think of, you know, events of this last week, you're like, you know, poor guy, you know, he thinks, poor guy, right? You think, that guy thinks he's so close to God, right next to God, and you know, so far.
You know what, brother? Being that we got some time, I can remember when I started reading the reading God's Word when I was 48, and when God talked about telling Jeremiah, no, Ezekiel, that it would be bitter in your mouth, but in your stomach it would be sweet. And I'm thinking about how I felt when I first started to read God's Word. Because I like to make application. When I'm reading God's Word, I'm not reading it like I used to read romance novels. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I don't read them anymore. Hallelujah. But when I started to read God's Word, it was bitter. Some of the things that I was reading was bitter. And one of the things that, when I say bitter, and I think this is what God is implying, that it ain't gonna taste good to you. I mean, it would not be something you would invite and makes you feel good in your mouth. But once you accept it into your spirit, and when I accepted those bitter things, like for an example, when I read in God's Word that when people treat you mean, you're supposed to treat them good.
Yeah.
Whoa! How can that be? Oof. Because that, up to that point, if you did me bad, I got something for you. That was my attitude at that point. But now that I'm a saint, I am a child of the King, and we all are saints, children of God. God tell us, to when someone treat you bad, you be kind to them. To me, that was bitter in my mouth. But once I received that and started to fast and pray and ask the Lord to help me, and I received that truth, believe it or not, over the years, that truth became sweet to me. And it should be to us all, not just me. Nobody special. Believe me when I tell you, nobody special. But it became overcoming evil with good, when someone treat me bad and I turn around and do them good, it brought pleasure in my life. And I know it brought glory to God, because I am doing what He wants me to do. But at first it was bitter, is the point that I'm making. But if you continue to abide in God's word, you are His saint and you are His children, and the word of God will set you free. And when you are free from this evil, when you are free from evil doing, it is, you do have a rich and satisfying life. You do have a rich and satisfying life. And that's that sweetness, I think, that I know God is talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I could talk about, I guess a prelim to next week. So I guess I'm going to talk about, that's really what this is what I studied all day yesterday, pretty much. And, but anyway, and I don't know if it'd be helpful, you know, to anybody in here, but you know, the scientists, you know, I mean, I don't know if you've heard like Stephen Hawking or anybody like that, or all these big science guys that, you know, supposedly got everything all figured out. And you start reading what they believe and you're like, you know, and they keep changing, you know, keep changing. You know, keep changing the goal, keep moving the goalposts, you know. And it's very interesting that, I don't know, did y'all grow up in school and they tell you about, you know, there's like some seed to the universe, you know, they say, oh, it's really, really small, this little tiny seed, and it expands and blows up, and, you know, that's how we got the universe. And then you just keep, you know, and they keep changing their minds on that, exactly what that is, it seems. I mean, you know, exactly how that's going to go down. And I just, you know, so I'm still digging with this, because, you know, it's different than, but, you know, at one point you look at it and you go, okay, the attributes of this seed, right? At one point I was looking, what are the attributes of this seed compared to the attributes of God? And the biggest thing is, that seed is really a stupid god. I mean, in the end, this seed becomes a stupid god. I don't know. If you've looked at it, I mean, you know, just an uncaring, impersonal, stupid god. But that changes too. They change that too. But anyway, I guess I'm rambling here. But hopefully I'll get down to it, figure it out next week, and have something to show for my studies. Anyway, someone like to lead us in prayer? Go ahead.
Let us pray. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank you so much for everything that you give us each day. Father, at this time we are mindful of the time spent by Roger to look through the book of Ezekiel to teach these principles to us. Father, we hope that we can study these and we can apply them to our lives. Father, as we now leave this class, let us do so with a mindful heart that we know that you are with us always. Please forgive us of our sins. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen.